January 8th meeting of 2010, meeting of Pacifica's National Finance Committee. I'm the chair, Jamie Ross, calling the meeting to order. And let's see, I will be taking the roll first thing. Let's see, going around, let's see, from New York we have Barudi Bediako. It's here.
Present.
Okay, good.
Present.
And Jamie Ross is here. And then from D.C., Lizette King.
Yes.
And Bruce Wolf is not here. He said he may come later. In Texas, Mike Jones.
Here.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Okay. And also we have Susan Young.
Here.
Okay. And then from L.A., we have Grace Aaron.
Here.
Okay, and then we have our treasurer, Fred Klunder. Fred, are you here? I heard you before.
Yes, I'm here, Jamie. Thank you.
Excellent. And then from KPFA, well, for tonight we have Brian Edward Teekert.
Here.
Okay, and let's see, the other people associated with KPFA, is Sherry Gandelman here? No, and Simon.
I think she's getting off a plane tonight.
Simon Pius. No, okay. Okay, and then LaVarne Williams?
Present.
Okay. And then Arlene Engelhardt?
She's here.
I'm here.
You're here. Okay, fantastic. Okay, so for tonight, once again, we're in the protracted budget approval process. The proposed agenda is one to review and hopefully decide what to do with the PRA budget, Pacifica Radio Archives, and then the second point would be any further issues with regard to the national office or affiliate budget. So I have sent around the PRA, the latest version of it, so I can send that again if people don't have it. So anyway, that's my proposed agenda with two items. Are there any objections or changes to that?
When was that sent, Jamie?
Pardon? I'll send it to you directly. I did send it about half an hour, nice, like 2 hours ago, something like that. I can't even remember. 3 hours. Let's see, PRA, and then blah, 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 blah. What's the other one? And, okay. So if there's no objections, why don't we get right into the PRA budget? Let me send it off one more time.
I have a suggestion.
Yes?
Can we, adjourn this meeting at within about 45 minutes and then move to closed session?
Well, do you think, can we get through the PRA budget first? I'd like to have us vote on it and just get it out of the way. I don't think it should be controversial.
I don't think so. But can we, all right, never mind. I'll just.
Are you under some time constraint, Grace? You'd like to get into the closed session soon?
Well, I'd like to make sure we get there.
Okay, so you want us to go to the closed session at 10 Eastern time? That was 50
well,
minutes.
That would be yeah.
Okay, that's fine with me. Is there any objection to setting a time certain for the closed session for 10 p.m.?
That's good.
Okay. Okay, so why don't we do that? So we'll add that to the agenda. Okay, so let's open up the PRA budget that I sent around. I just sent a copy to Arlene, and this has remained unchanged since December 17th, I think.
I got it.
You got it. Okay, good. Let me just open it up here. And give me a second. I can open our queries that we had. We actually reviewed this budget. This committee, the previous iteration of it, reviewed it in late September. And one of the issues, there were a few issues which I'll dig up our list of queries. And of course, one of the issues was that as of then, the central services were not really ready. so central service income, like the national office, just for the new treasurers to bring everybody up to speed. Pacifica Radio Archives is a division, is a unit of Pacifica Foundation, which focuses on maintaining our old tape and audio records. We have quite a historical treasure trove, and they're in Los Angeles. They're housed in the same building as KPFK. This operation is funded by a small part of the central service levy. Last time we went over that 19.5% of the listener support income goes to national office and PRA. So the PRA's fraction is 2.5%. 2.5% of every station's listener income, listener support income, goes to fund Pacifica Radio Archives. And the other 17% goes to national office to cover all the various costs that fall into that catch-all that we call national office. Okay, so we can pull up this budget, and let me just if you give me 1 minute, I'm going to pull up our queries from the last time. Let me just see here, but you guys can take a quick look at it.
So, Jamie, are you saying the central service figure is still mushy in the budget?
No, it's been put in. They have the version we passed for BAI, and the version from PFW, which is, remember, I don't know if you recall, but the version we looked at before had no central services from PFW, and now this version has the number that, my understanding is this version has the number that's in the latest PFW budget.
I'm just looking at the summary numbers, but it looks like it's anticipating a $70,000 increase in central service revenue.
Okay.
Which sounds, that's large percentage-wise.
Okay. That's good. What could we do this? So, well, I believe that that would mean that if central services goes up 70%, that means listener support goes up by...
Not 70,000, not 70%.
That 70,000 divided by 2.5% would be the increase in central services that this is calling for.
30%?
But I think you can look at the tab for central services. It should T14. So let's look at that. Let's look at that tab. If you, just for the people on the committee, once again, we kind of tend to focus on the tab that says budget, and the columns that are most useful are T, which is the total for the budget year FY 2010, and U, which is the actual. It says here forecast, but I believe that's an actual. Okay, that's another interesting issue. So U should be the actual for FY 09. So hopefully they're either similar or there's a good reason why they're different. So Brian is looking at row 13. Cell T says 256K for central service income to affiliates. And cell U13 says last year we got 187 in central service from affiliates.
From PRA?
PRA. Sorry, I'm confused. I'm very tired. Sorry. Okay.
Well, there's a second day of fundraising. Is that what that is reflective of?
Fundraising ought to be listener support, right? I think that
is that payback of central services as foreseen by the budget.
The way to answer this question is to zip out to the central service tab and central service income, and we can go. We can sort of make it big so we can see it. So we go zoom. 150% ought to do it. Okay. So. Oh, they didn't put any. They didn't get any central service from BAI. This is actually. Yeah. The actuals were low. We expect BAI to start paying full central services, and we expect PFW to pay full central services.
Okay, so I guess it's a little confusing because it's comparing cash instead of accrued income.
Yeah, Well, that's an. I mean, isn't that what the actual we do? The incomes are
because WBAI should be accruing central services owed, and that should be the basis for the comparison.
I see.
Otherwise, you would get really weird swings.
Right.
Yeah, like but where do you show that WBAI is not paying essential services? It's accruing,
but
not paying it.
On your balance sheet as an interunit receivable and an interunit payable. I mean, if we're doing accrual accounting, we just have to be consistent.
Yep.
Okay, so the issue there is the actual FY09 or cash not accrued.
Yeah. It looks like the issue.
Okay. All righty. So then we'll go back to the main budget page. And let me just actually, I have pulled up our list of questions from the last time. Okay. And let's see what we said. A big one for us was the $100,000 grant from the American Archive Project. We would like this incorporated into the full budget. Just so people know, the Archives program did get a grant of that much money, which is a good thing, but it wasn't in the budget, so we asked them to put it in the budget. So the question is that in the budget? Grant income, restricted grant, is that it?
$5,000.
Huh. Well, okay, then you got to go to assumptions and historical data, Z33. Once again, we have to zoom in so we can see what it looks like. And there we go, Z33, American Archive Pilot Grant, and that is it. The total is actually $85,000, so that is now in the budget, so that's good. Does everybody see that? If you go to the Assumptions tab, it has the whole, it's actually worked out in pretty good detail, the receipts for this grant and the expenses for the grant and some other stuff about the grant, which I guess the net income. Okay, is there any? So that's a good thing. So that's been taken care of, as to the best of my understanding. Okay, now we also had a question. Community event, what is the justification for improved income in versus FY09? Projected 40K versus actual 17K. This is income. This is item code 5750. So let's take a look. Does anybody see 5750?
Jamie, can I back you up on the grant real quick for 1 second?
Yes.
So it shows 85,000 income and 52,000 expense?
That's what it seems to.
So does that mean that there's still grant work left to be done at the end of the fiscal year?
I don't know. Net income, $25,000.
I guess the question is that the way it comes out in the wash in the budget document is that looks like unrestricted cash on your bottom line. But if it's still subject to grant restrictions,
okay, so why
we should note that because it's not a real surplus.
Okay. What is the deal with the remaining?
It's on the assumptions page 51 and down. I mean, it's number 2 goes down past the grant expense. He has it on here.
What's that, LaVon? It's on?
It's on the assumption sheet where you were looking. You know, you have number 2. You start with the grant income receipts, and then you go down to the grant budget expenses, and then he has a summary of money earned from the grant. And so I guess Brian's question is, what were the restrictions on the grant and the net income, if that's restricted or if that's to be used for operating expenses? Or since this is a budget, you know, we don't really know what the real cost will be.
Okay, but it's what you're it looks like it's what you're charging as overhead to the grant.
Well, he has actually it's not really overhead where he's actually bringing in specifically, but like the 3 catalogers, there's him, And then the other 52, which he has, you can see the details.
But, no, those are the direct expenses of the grant, but under it, it says composition of net income, regular staff expenses, 15% of production costs is indirect costs. That looks legit. I mean, that would leave it unrestricted if it's...
Absolutely.
If it's overhead on the grant. Okay.
Okay, so that's the grant. Then our next question...
Very good, but the detail that he put in there, that Brian has...
What's that?
I said that's very good, the detail to show the net income, how it was actually is some of the costs allocated to the grant.
Yeah, you probably don't want to use the word net income, though.
Well, there's
no grant.
Here we can work on, like, even using income, like I talked earlier about on simple services, that's not income either. But,
yeah. It's just no grant maker wants to hear that you're using their grant to make a profit.
Oh, absolutely not.
So you want to use overhead and indirect costs.
Indirect costs, that is a great thing. I work for a university, and when we get a grant for $10,000, they get like $4,000. Indirect costs. Okay, so that's the grant. So then the community event, $5,750. What is the justification for improved income? So let me just check that out. Row 5750 on the budget. I believe that's row 9. So yeah, it's the same number. If you see income line 9, they're budgeting $40,000, and last year they got $17,000. And here is the answer. Hopefully it satisfies the committee. In FY 2008, we had a community event that grossed $40,000. It was a single patron who donated her house and invited her celebrity friends. We were not able to organize our schedule and calendars this year, but the patron is committed to having another fundraiser. It was called Sound of Soul, and it's got a website here. And since the recent grant is focusing on African-American civil rights recordings, I do believe that we will be able to reach this goal. With the proposed temporary development position, we should be able to increase revenue with the work we are doing and have done. So they're saying that they did do such an event in 2008, and they didn't get it done in 2009, but they're saying it's going to happen in 2010.
It's not in their audit figures for 2008.
No.
I mean, their audit figures show $12,000 in revenue on that line versus $7,000 in expense.
Okay, well... So we can make another question. Community event. Not in 08 either. Okay. And the next item. Okay, no central service payments from PFW. Yes, we will wait to that. So that's been fixed. Okay. Item 6700, tape and supplies expense. What is the reason for the drop in from FY 09 actuals from 20,000 to 20,000 from 42,000? This is from Efren, I believe. No, this isn't. Oh, this might be from Brian. I will have to defer to Mariana, but I think the new budget formula took some of the budget for tape and supplies we used for the fund drive day. Is now moved to the development page instead of all tapes and supplies being integrated. Efren and Mariana can explain this better. Mariana, to clarify on this provision. That seems somewhat outstanding. I have to dig up another email. Okay, then another query. Oh, but there was no answer from Mariana there. So that's kind of an open query. So let's note that. For query on tape cost not answered. Okay, now, next query. Item 6576, credit card discount fee, which is line 85. Why is there a major increase? This may be a case of items being booked differently from year to year. And the first person, I believe it's Efren says, or Brian says, defer to Mariana. And then Mariana or somebody else says, yes, credit card discount fees on collected listener support were recorded in the past as part of fund drive expenses. Credit card discount fees were recorded in the past as part of fund drive expenses. We have now budgeted the discount fees on the listener support collection under the regular credit card discount fees, similar to the treatment made by other stations. Okay, so that's they booking things, booking an expense differently. 6576 actually I don't see it, but it must be here. Yes, there it is. It's on row 85. Credit card discount fee. I can't believe we made a query out of this. It's not very much. Well, anyway, so let's not worry about that. It seems like they gave a good answer. Okay, then there is no cash flow tab. This needs to be added. It says now it's added. Also included the reconciliation between budget net income and cash flow. So let's see where the if the cash flow is indeed in there. And there is a cash flow.
So what item
Pardon?
What item is that?
We're on the Pacifica Radio Archives budget.
I know that. Item.
Oh, the cash flow. Previously there had been no cash flow as part of this document, and now there is. So the cash flow tab looks like a lot of these cash flow tabs. Okay, but funny though. There's no. Somebody see here on the cash flow tab a line of? Well, does
I don't see any balances.
Does PRA have a bank account?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So yes, I don't see any balances either. I see net income, but no. So it looks like the cash flow needs to be beefed up. Cash flow needs balances. All right. And I believe that is our last query. So, where does this leave us? So here's what we highlighted. Central services, so it's actuals from prior fiscal year, cash not accrued. What is the deal with the remaining 24,939 from grant? It should probably be called indirect costs, okay? Community event. They justified the $40,000 as they did it in FY08, but the budget doesn't show it in FY08. Okay, the query on the tape cost. Does anybody know what the tape cost number actually is? Let's check that out and see what kind of question we're asking.
It's $20,000 versus a... Oh, no, sorry. I'm thinking of the wrong one.
No, I think you're right. It's item 6700. Okay. Tapes and supplies. Oh, yeah, it's 20,000. Wait, I'm on cash flow. Wait. Tapes and supplies, 20,000 versus 42,000. However, FY08 is 19,000. So, I don't know. Perhaps FY09 was an anomalous year. So that's where we stand, and then there's the cash flow needs to add bank balances. So I guess I can send these back to Brian and Efren. Does that seem like the appropriate move? I'd like to do something with this budget if we can.
This is Brian here?
Yes.
If you guys are like in a rush to get stuff to the PNB before the changing of the guard...
Yeah.
The amount of like the dollar amount on those items is less than the total surplus in the budget. I would be comfortable speaking only for myself, passing it along provisionally and asking them to fix those punch card items before it goes to the PNB for a vote.
So move.
So move that NFC approves budget provisionally with requests, with recommendations.
About pending.
That these items are fixed prior to final approval. Okay, and those items would be actuals showing accrued, not cash. Is that the way?
Actuals central office,
don't,
right?
Don't we, I'm confused about, oh, because central service should be an accrued item, not a, but
so,
other income would be cash, right? Donations would be cash. Actuals from fiscal 09?
Listener support is cash.
But central service would be accrued.
Yeah, that's how our income statement's treated.
You have to look at the cash sheet in order to determine whether the accrual was actually paid.
Right.
Should be accrued, not cash. Okay.
Well,
so that's for the FY09 forecast.
Yeah, FY09.
The comparison column.
In cash and the other, you have to get a cash flow.
Okay, into the grant, change language on grant surplus. Surplus to incorrect costs.
To indirect costs, is that?
Yeah, rather than income.
Indirect cost. Okay.
Okay, then three. Well, we guess we don't worry about the community event.
Well, I think they I mean, since the narrative they gave us doesn't match the audit figures, they should explain that. It probably would only take a sentence, but they should explain it before the PNB votes on it.
Okay. Community event.
I'm putting check narrative versus audit for prior event.
Okay. 40. Okay, in FY08 audited numbers. Okay. Four is a query on provide explanation on decrease in tape costs. And five, add balances to cash flow. Okay, so that's our motion.
I'm sorry, provide explanation regarding increases in tape costs?
Decrease.
Decrease.
Yeah, decrease.
Okay.
And then number five is to add balances to cash flow document, cash flow tab.
Got it.
Okay, so do you have some text there, Susan, you'd like to read for the committee?
Sure. Move that NFC approve budget provisional, PRA budget provisionally, with recommendations for specific corrections to be made prior to final approval. Hang on, PRA budget. Okay, colon, 2009 forecast of central services, accrual rather than cash, central services payments. Payment should be accrual rather than cash. Change language on grant surplus to indirect costs. grants from surplus to indirect costs.
It's from net income to indirect costs.
Sorry, from net income to check narrative versus audit for prior community event. Provide explanation regarding decrease in take costs and add balances to cash flow tab. That's it.
Yes.
I think it sings.
You think it sings?
I think it sings. The move by Brian?
Yeah, sure. Is there any objection to this motion? Okay, good. So we dealt with the Pacifica Radio Archives budget.
Yahoo!
Okay, so now it's just worth it. Worth reviewing. The Pacifica Radio Archives is currently the smallest unit in the foundation, and it has 5 employees. So, okay. So the next item on our agenda for public session is any further question about national officer affiliates, and then we go. Then we go to closed session. A few people had some questions about the affiliates program, how it's being budgeted. Anybody would like to ask a question or bring up a point about that? I see.
No, I was the person who brought up the point, and I think that LaVarna and Arlene are proceeding on having that conversation, and so I think that they and what they said, I think that they've received input from everybody already.
Okie dokie. So I guess we're through with our public session, unless anybody has anything else.
This was Fred. This is maybe a question that I can better ask Grace or someone offline, and it goes to how things work with something like the affiliates, where we're asked to approve a budget for new expenses. Do we wish to know what the estimated programming expenses and income are? It goes back to that question of what percentage Democracy Now. Are we evaluating the relevance I guess it comes back to what extent do we want to see a budget for a program such as the affiliates, be it part of the overall national office budget, or be it separate? Are those questions that we wish to ask and to have answered?
I think the persons to ask them to would be to Arlene and to LaVarna.
Okay. I can do that offline. I don't want to delay our conversation.
Okay.
Brian, I had a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
On an unrelated topic, if we're off affiliates.
I think we are.
Okay. So I just checked in with my business manager when I rolled back into town today, and
year, $400,000 loss. That the representative, I haven't talked to him, I still have to talk to him, Ken Juni, made this decision. So I still have to talk to him about, I can't change the numbers, but I still need to speak to him about his decision without complete notification.
So it was actually on the bank's initiative that they increased the amount of our assets held as collateral?
Well, I
don't know that this is an executive session item.
Yeah, I think you should go through this now before we go on to the other number.
Junie is at the bank.
Yeah, he's not an employee.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's okay to be online. Nope. So, LaVarne and Brian, were you? I didn't totally understand the answer.
Well, my understanding had been when the national office re-upped its line of credit at 100,000, it was holding 100,000 of our CDs as collateral. But what I was just told by our business manager is that she's been told it's 150 that's being held as collateral for a $100,000 line of credit. So what I understood LaVarne to say and what I wanted to confirm is that the bank actually increased the amount of collateral on their initiative.
Well, I haven't talked to Ken Juni, so I have to talk to him in detail to see exactly what the decision and how was that clause, was there this escalation in our line of credit. So until I can confirm that it was in there, you know, this is what I was told, so I don't know that for a fact.
So it wasn't 150 in collateral when you re-upped the line of credit in August?
Re-upped the line of credit.
Sorry, what?
Re-upped what line of credit?
The $100,000 line of credit, it was originally $100,000 in collateral. That's what he's asking. Is that correct?
Yeah. The line of credit wasn't a pre-up. That was a reduction from the $300,000 line of credit. It went from $300,000 down to $100,000.
And did the...
collateral before was the 420 on the
right, right. But did the collateral, when our line of credit went to 100,000, did the collateral go to 100,000?
Yeah, that was the collateral when we first made the agreement. That's why I said that I need to speak with Juni to see if there is this escalation clause due to whatever reason our loss, which has not actually been, you know, the audit has not been produced yet. So in terms of what KPFA's loss are our loss, you know, that's, although it's a fact, but it still hasn't been, the audit has not been finalized and has not been official. So that's why I need to speak with Mr. Juni about this.
Okay.
Well, I guess, you know, my follow-on to that would be, is there any plan for paying that off? It seems awfully silly to freeze $150,000 in order to have 100.
Are we on closed session yet, or we're just
no? We're still on the public session.
Okay,
if you'd like to take this up in closed session,
we've had these discussions before, and we can go to the fact that of the $375,000 that we thought was deposited at Wells, and it wasn't. So we can go into closed session on that one too. Have a couple of questions to ask.
Jamie?
Bertel?
Any update miscellaneous? Like, I'd like to mention that the mailbox issue at DA has been resolved.
The mailbox?
Well, this is something that affects budget, you know, that affects money that we get in.
Okay, well, that's good. If you guys have a report that's written down, that would be very helpful.
Okay, send it right away. Bertel has done a report, and we'll get it to you.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. That's very good. So how much available money or recoverable money was in there?
I think we recovered about $125,000.
Are you serious?
You know, just cash.
Woohoo!
I mean, it went back to, you know, a few dollars in there since April 2009 pledges.
Well, that's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, $1 at a time.
Well, that's...
It begs the question, though, because of this, so how much potential money that we lost.
Bertold, is that going to increase your fund drive fulfillment, or was it from different fundraising activities?
It definitely increased our fund drive fulfillment rate. Our non-cash, non-credit card fulfillment rate, you know, used to average about 40% in 2008, October, 49%, and it steadily went down. And at the last fall drive, it was 0.4%. That's when LaVarne kind of, you know, went dessert.
Can you repeat that number? What was that? It went to what?
It was 0.4%.
Was the fulfillment rate on non-credit card pledges?
Yes, for fall 2009. So then Ron went on a kind of, investigation. We've been looking into that for a while, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. And then finally, she discovered that there was a problem with the post office box, and we fixed it. I believe she, she has the report. She'll send it out. We switched log box, and what happened, the previous log box was not closed. And the second log box, it seemed that whoever opened, previous management opened the log box at the post office station, did not wait for the code. We turned our business reply mail code to be put into in the envelope and started printing those envelopes. So now you have a situation, you have two log box open, and there's a lot of confusion. Then I think what happened at one point is when the AI management somewhere in the AI management realized that we're getting a bill for two log box, one of those log box did not get paid, and that's when, we hit 0.4% in the fall of 2000 fulfillment rate. And LeVon went to the post office, I think out of her own credit card, paid to reinstall the lockbox, and we realized that there were some more issues. I went there, followed up, and we established a relationship with a lady there that contacts me directly. And finally, we had this resolve of over 1,000 pieces of mail with checks were sitting in the lockbox here and there, and it came up to about $125,000 in cash, cash checks. Further, we finally today received the name of it.
The artwork,
which is the barcode that we can now print in the envelopes and use the envelopes to do follow up. So obviously we've lost a lot of money on this. Because the earlier you do the follow-up, for the business manager of the AI, the follow-up usually increases our fulfillment rate for a non-credit card by like 20%. And our non-credit card fulfillment rate now is at 22%. That if it was double, that would have had another $70,000 or $80,000 in.
We're at 22%?
We have 22% right now, which is not bad compared to 0.4% until December the 29th. So this fund drive was over in November, on November the 19th, somewhere around there, and our fulfillment rate was 4% for a while, and we didn't get any money until December 29th or like early January.
Okay, well, that's good you figured that out, and it seems to be squared away.
I don't get that. How could the fulfillment rate, you mean the non-credit card fulfillment?
Yes, the non-credit card fulfillment rate.
Okay. Was at what percent?
It was less than 1% for a whole month and a half following.
And that's because the people have to be billed and then have to send in their checks?
Yes.
Yeah, and they sent them to a mailbox that nobody took the money out of.
Okay,
so it never got entered.
But they're now 22%. What is the real fulfillment that people would expect to achieve?
In previous years, the best we've done with non-credit card fulfillment is around 50%.
Oh.
Yes, it varied between 50 and about 30 something. So you could average 33, 40. You could average about 40.
Well, in previous years, it's been, 2005, 2006. It should be 50.
Yeah.
And with our ComNet, the telemarketing. They're running an additional sheet to give us to tell us the number of responses they have gotten back from listeners who said they would be willing to give, but since their premiums were never delivered, they just aren't willing to give at this time. So we're looking at lapsed listeners from 18 months back, and that's what they're telling me the primary excuse for not pledging again, and is due to the fact that people had not received their premium. And then this year we were getting the complaints from the listeners saying, "Well, you haven't cashed my check." So we really tackled that problem, and now, as Bertolt said, we've gotten the artwork from the post office so that we can approve that, and that the barcode on the envelope, business reply envelope, is the same as the zip code on there, and that we can get our second mail-in out also for the last fund drive. I was told that
to give the benefit of the doubt to whoever made the error or previous management, or whatever, the post office situation is a bit complicated because our lockbox has...
Bertolt, can I jump in here? How much time do people want to spend on this question right now?
Okay, well, Jamie, I just wanted to ask a quick question. This is Baruti before we get away from this.
Okay, because I would really, it's helpful to have a document in hand we can read and ask questions. You know, the narrative tends to wander on and on. So I guess
the bottom line is this found money, or is this going to hurt what you were expecting for fulfillment from the past couple drives?
Oh, it increased.
Why would it hurt?
Well, if you're saying you've already lost a chance to get up to your expected fulfillment for the fall drive, I'm just not getting what the bottom line is. Like, I understand that it's good that you found the thing and got the cash out.
Well, it should, for the fall drive, I wouldn't see why it would affect total ultimate fulfillment at all now that we found the money. They're not stale from the fall drive. They're only a month or two old. If they're from previous drives, there may be an issue of stale checks. Or, you know, something like that.
Okay.
Amy?
I wanted to follow up because at our local finance committee meeting there was a discussion about this situation and we had requested a report. So can LaVon tell us when we would expect an actual written report on this whole situation?
I have it right here in front of me.
Okay, so you'll email it tonight?
Oh, I think so. I'm sure I can.
Okay. I appreciate it because I'd like to get it on our local finance committee listserv. I'll look for that. Thanks, LaVon.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Okay, so if there's no more questions about this story, why don't we move to the closed session if there's no more open session items?
Well, I did have a question that never got answered about repaying the line of credit.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
well,
is
there a plan?
Oh, there are always plans. We always there are plans. So, you know, we had this discussion before about the HEAP fund and about, I believe you had said that there were perhaps other uses for the money than paying back the
HEAP fund. LaVon, what he's asking, is there a plan to pay back the $100,000 line of credit from the bank?
I said there's always a plan to pay it back.
Because we haven't seen it.
Well, you pay it back as you have the cash. So as our cash, as the fund drives are better, we are getting our essential services, and then we will be paying it back. Like on the HEAP Foundation, where we used the additional 75, you know, we showed you the plan for that. So we have paid the first 25,000, and we're able to pay back after the major fund drive. So that's how we're paying it back. But, you know, we didn't give a seat on here, so we can only guesstimate at this time in terms of how we will get it paid back.
Is there a time, a point in time where it's all supposed to be paid back? Is it like a one-year item or a three-year item?
I think we set it up as 3 years. I'll have to get it. I believe it's 3 years.
I think you're right. I seem to remember you. Yeah, I recall that as well.
And I think we did have a sheet. I'll have to find it. But it's all dependent on after the major drives and as the funds come in to the national office. But let me see if I can find the sheet.
Okay, folks, I would really like to get to the closed session items so we can move through the budget.
Oh, absolutely.
So if there's no more questions, we could go to the closed session.
And see you next time.
Okay, thank you, Bertold. Okay, so I move to adjourn this open session and
bye-bye, Bertold.
And stay off for 3 minutes, and then we can get back on the closed session line.
Okay.
Is there any objection to adjourning the open session now? Okay, hearing none, we are adjourned, and I'll talk to you all in 3 minutes. Thanks.